7 Land Pans.
Oh my goodness.
Brought to you by Good Games St. James.
It's in St. James.
Do you like rubbing brown sauce into your nipples? Well, this episode could be for you. We're talking H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, yeah.
Cthulhu, Nyarlathotep, Madonna, all these ancient ones have struck fear and dread into the hearts of mankind for eons. Some even broke into song, but enough about Cthulhu. This episode has more mountains of madness than Arkham Asylum's strip club. We'll look at the statement of Randolph Carter and ask him, why did he pay ATM levies years before the automatic teller machine was invented?
ATM.
Dirty, dirty man. Anyway, we're striking a gone call in Necromonicon, and by the time we're done, you may ask, where's your Dagon? Dagon's a story he wrote.
That is brilliant.
D-A-G-O-N.
That was good. Flawless.
Even if I wasn't on this, I would say that was brilliant.
Yeah. To yourself in the bath as you listen to Seven Lead Head. Previous to us recording this, Dave over here mentioned he listens to Seven Lead Head in the bath.
It's one of the many places I listen to Seven Lead Head.
Which strikes pure terror into the heart as well. It's like right in the theme of Lovecraft.
Yeah, I think I've gone mad. I'm going to have to lay down my explorer.
Take two sanity damage. You just imagine Dave in the bath. Oh, Lovecraft. Who is that guy?
I don't know who H.P. Lovecraft is.
Biography right here.
Oh, lovely.
That I think is I said a full biography. Page of A4.
Is no, it like it's, Harry Potter Lovecraft?
Well, H.P. Lovecraft was born at 9 a.m. on August the 20th, 1890.
Who knew that?
His family was fucking bonkers. When he was 3, his dad had a nervous breakdown, was admitted to Butler Hospital and died 5 years later. Lovecraft and his mother moved in with his 2 aunts and his grandfather, Whipple Van Buren Phillips. A precocious youth, Lovecraft recited poetry at age 2.
What a wanker.
Read by age 3.
What?
And
how
started.
Did he, how
and
did he,
started. Well, he got. He read it and learnt it by rote. He was read 2.
He wrote was read it 2 first. And he recited it. That's. These I don't are, know these, if that's that flash.
These are facts, Aaron. These are facts.
Like, if a parrot did it, you wouldn't be like, he was a prodigy.
Yeah.
He'd be like, you're just repeating that thing that I said.
Okay, well, he started writing by the age of 6. His grandfather fostered an interest in the weird, entertaining him with gothic tales of horror. In 1904, however, his grandfather died, and through mismanagement of the family's fortune, they were plunged into poverty.
So much death.
Yeah. I've cut death out of this story. From 1908 to 1913, Lovecraft became a hermit, and his relationship with his mother became an unhealthy love-hate manifestation.
All been there.
Yeah. She would die in 1921, and Lovecraft soon met and married Sonia Green in 1924. They lived briefly in New York, in Brooklyn. Nonetheless, this relationship would also be doomed.
She died. Crazy.
He returned to Providence in 1926 and blossomed as a writer. The final 10 years of his life were prolific. The Call of Cthulhu, At the Mountains of Madness, and The Shadow Out of Time were all written in this period. Yet he never had a true book published within his lifetime. His final years were spent in hardship.
Did he have a false book published in his lifetime?
Lovecraft prided himself by living on meager supplies and would nearly starve himself. Subsequently, he developed cancer of the intestines. 5 days after admission to Jane Brown Memorial Hospital, he passed away. It was 1937 and he was only 46 years old. So it's likely that we may never even have heard of him if it were not for the close friendships he had cultivated with August Derleth and Donald Wandry, who together they posthumously published his works in a hardcover book.
Oh, he wasn't even published while he was alive.
No, that's the true book line. Paperback editions followed, and then translations into numerous languages. Today, writers such as Stephen King regard Lovecraft as the progenitor of the modern horror classic.
Wow.
But what does it all mean to gamers?
What does it mean to gamers?
To wrap their tentacles around all of this with me today, I have my crypt-dwelling co-host, Aaron Azathoth Graham.
That's what they call me in the clubs, yeah.
Yeah, not the Big G anymore.
Yeah.
You've lost that moniker.
Yeah.
We've had a look.
They started calling me Azathoth when I had...
Whipped it out and he went, Azathoth!
Azathoth, yeah.
And the completely insane Dave Crawling Chaos Clark. Hello, Dave.
It's me again.
Hello.
In place of Matt.
Gentlemen, welcome to the other world known as Seven Land Hand.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm deeply, deeply terrified.
Insane.
And simultaneously excited.
Okay, well, Aaron, Dave and I bought you the Necromonicon for Christmas. Listeners want to know what it is. Give us a quick abstract and then reflect on what you thought of the H.P. Lovecraft. Go!
The Necronomicon is a collection of short stories by H.P. Lovecraft detailing the Cthulhu mythos.
He's read the back.
It's quite thick.
Yeah.
Leather bound.
Sits on your shelf well.
It sits nicely on the shelf.
Where is yours?
When I flicked through the pages, there were words, and some of the words were Cthulhu.
Mm.
I think he said madness at one point, and yeah. I think he may have said tentacle.
Yeah.
And I think he said squid-like appendage.
Yeah, if we were playing Family Fortunes, those all score really high. Yeah,
have you guys watched that show Pointless in England?
I have not.
Like Family Fortunes, but you're trying to do the opposite. You're trying to find answers that no one has heard of. So
that'd be easy.
What wasn't said in the Cthulhu book?
What didn't he say in his... What we playing?
What is a word that isn't in the Necronomicon?
Capitalism.
Mobile phone.
You don't know that. But mobile and phone
internet.
Might have been in there.
Internet.
That's a good one.
Rape. Okay.
Yeah. I win. I don't know how much hentai you've watched, Dave, but tentacles
want to edit
are quite
that out.
Involved. It's too late. It's committed to tape now.
Arkham Horror. It's Arkham a game. Horror. It's based on Lovecraft. It's green. It's a Cthulhu, Call of Cthulhu board game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Fantasy Flight.
You're looking at the front cover.
By Richard Launius and Kevin Wilson.
All right.
Yeah, go on. What?
I'm going to read. I would like to introduce it by reading something.
Okay.
It may or may not be something I have written. The year is 1926. The place is Arkham, Massachusetts. Gateways to places horrible beyond imagination are opening up all over town, releasing hideous creatures into the streets to stalk the night. Worse yet...
Sounds like Northbridge.
If enough of these gates open up, then a creature of unfathomable power... I should have said... hard to measure.
Walks the streets and forces you to pronounce words that you cannot fathom.
I just like some seer to rise from the mist and everyone in the world is paralyzed in fear. And he goes... The being of unfathomable, and we're all like, nah, not intimidated by this
no
anymore.
Respect.
Fuck
off. Lost it.
He goes, here's some words, pronounce them. Bah! Go back to from where you came.
Mad! Yeah. You're mad.
Bang, you're unsummoned.
Well, I might as well put a full stop there. It only gets harder as I go along.
No, the rest of the paragraph is unfathomable.
Unleashed to the world. There you go.
It's unleashed.
On the world.
And that's the thing about this game, isn't it? It all takes place in Arkham. So you have the board is a layout of the town and the various districts that you have within the town.
That's exactly right, yes. You have North Side, Merchant District. I'm not going to read them all.
No, just give us a flavour for it. You got the uni. Got the woods.
I really liked the Merchant District when I was there.
Well, it's... Okay.
In the game.
you might get quite involved in your game playing.
I thought you
like
the red light district.
Is that in the?
Yeah,
it's red the ones. Red district.
The red district.
It's called Uptown.
Nope.
They'll take you downtown.
That's right.
In Uptown. So you take on the role of an investigator.
You take on the role of an investigator.
Investigating mysteries around
within
Arkham.
It's really well done. It's so flavorful.
Yeah.
What? The words are difficult this evening.
It's a Fantasy Flight game, so everything is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so what's the main objective of the game, Dave?
All right, well, why don't I give you an overview?
Yeah,
give us the mat. I mean the rundown.
Okay. So, players take the role of investigators in Arkham, but it's really characterful. So what happens is you choose... many of the different persons. If you're familiar with Lovecraftian fiction, always his investigators, they're not... Well, they may be policemen, mm-hmm. but they're not professional investigators. Mm-hmm. Immediately I realize that you can actually be a private investigator in them as well. But the point is, typically, you're a librarian or you're a hobo.
Well, they're usually a guy who is tacked on or helping somebody else who's... Like, if you take a statement from Randolph Carter, you get Randolph Carter, who's going and helping this guy. I've forgotten what his name is now. And that guy's done so much research into it.
Yeah.
And Randolph Carter's just gone along to sort of help. And he's the one, because most of his stories are like in first person.
They're generally unwitting protagonists that kind of get swept up in this other thing that's been going on above them, right?
Well, it's the driver most of the stories is that the more you learn, the more insane you get. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the games follow that sort of plan as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the main, you know, the guy who's done the most research and knows the most about whatever's going on in the particular story, they usually come to a foul end, and the first person narrative is of someone who was helping them or along for the ride. And, you know, statement Randolph Carter just goes along to this, you know, like graveyard at night, and they push as the top off, and his mate goes down and reports it all on a telephone.
As you do. Yeah.
So you're kind of in that position. You're a character who's going to Arkham, and you have, as Dave will probably explain, different qualities, health and sanity, that can all get affected.
I mean, the overview of the game is that really these gates are opening, as my opening paragraph, which I ad-libbed.
That was unfathomable, that first paragraph.
Unfathomable.
It's also on the back of the box, if you wanted to catch up on what I meant to say.
They put on the back of the box.
Well,
it's actually in quotes, and it says, dash Dave.
I'd rather not be quizzed on the details. But these gates are opening up, and the investigators have to close these gates. But the scene is set. The characters you play, they have a little story on the back. It brings in this role-play element, so it'll set the scene. For one example would be that you're a clairvoyant, and the scene is that she's been troubled by these terrible dreams for a long time. No, that's not her name.
Where do the gates? Clairvoyant. Where do the gates? The gates that you mentioned. They're not just gates on the farm. Where are these gates that are opening there?
Like rickety gates.
What purpose do they serve?
They're otherworldly gates.
Other worlds.
They send ye to other worlds.
Yeah, right.
So the clairvoyant,
which is the other location on the board,
decides to investigate. Yeah. What's going on? And that's where the story picks up.
Were they clairvoyant before?
She was. I mean, it doesn't give you a book on the woman. You get a brief statement.
That would be interesting if you had to, before you could start playing the game, you had to read an entire novel based on that character, then take on the role.
Imagine.
But this is
why you're not in games design, Aaron.
But before this, they were librarians. It would be pretty humdrum. That's the first time I've
There is a librarian in this game.
Oh,
yeah. Cool. You play the librarian.
But so, you know, like, 'cause in any game, the characters are all kind of different. You know, like, you have your librarian types that are, you know, have high lore values, and then you have other guys that are good with guns, and you know, like other people that are good at casting spells and so forth.
Yeah, but exactly.
There's no all stars.
So basically, what happens is if too many of these gates open, then a Cthulhu beastie will arrive. Players then get the chance, last chance effort, to kill the beast. Ooh, yeah. If they succeed, then the players win the game. Otherwise, they lose the game, and the world sinks into darkness
and madness.
Gets sucked into a hole that was Arkham
of madness.
So your characters have attributes. They have health and sanity. Sanity is a really important feature in the games that are set in this universe.
And in Cthulhu mythos as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about sanity.
It's all about the sanity and the madness.
Yeah, yeah. And how those interact with each other throughout a developing story.
Yeah, so the characters that are in it aren't necessarily characters from stories of Lovecraft, mm-hmm. but the places on the board, the Arkham board itself, are definitely the more... I think we started playing this game a few years ago, and I hadn't read as much Lovecraft as I have now. And as I was reading more Lovecraft, I was like, that's that place that's on the game. You know, so there is lots of references to things, but I think it's mostly to do with the locations and the events that happen and the people you bump into. Like, you'll find a terrible old man, and that's a guy that was, you know, in a story. But it's just mentioned on one of the event cards, you know, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, I think one of the most exciting things about the game is that they've really, really have immersed it in the universe. So if you do take the time to read a book that someone may have purchased you, or a group of people may have purchased
for example,
you're really going to get a lot out of this game.
What if I'd just taken it home and just lost it in my house and didn't know where it was?
Yeah.
What would I do then?
Well,
what if it's very heavy and it hurts your arms to read
to open the pages?
So the book was too heavy.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't talking about him. I was just saying hypothetical.
Just in general.
Yeah. I thought we'd got him then, and it was a chance to pounce.
Yeah. What if the book was black and you thought, oh, it's scary looking. I just daren't read it.
What if the person who was purchased said book of terrifying stories sleeps quite late, has a window facing out to rustling bushes, and doesn't particularly want to be reading them just before he goes to sleep, which is his favourite time to read books?
But I can read them to you. if that would be comforting.
Are you going to go around Aaron's place and read him stories before he goes to sleep at night?
Dave's in the bushes outside.
Sat outside.
Is that his reading voice?
Yeah. The light does go out very late in your room. For the record, I haven't. I don't even know where he lives.
All right, so one of the main components of this game, what do you get in the box?
Well, you get a lot of accessories. You get a lot of cards.
Yeah, it's a lot of setup on this.
It is. There is a lot of setup. When I used to play with a dear close friend of mine, it was David.
Was a dear friend.
I would call him up before I would leave the house, and I would say, I'm just going to have a shower now. I laughed.
He's gonna leave the house. He's gonna leave the house and have a shower. Is what they say. I'm gonna leave the house now, then have a shower, and then I'll be on the way. His car's amazing. The way he's rigged it out, so he can drive and have a shower.
When you go camping, they have those ones that you just hook up to the side of your car, and then on the side of the box is someone who looks really happy doing it. Yeah. You're never happy when you're using a car shower.
You can't do that while you're driving either, because it's too slippy.
My God, you shouldn't do... There's most things you shouldn't do while you're driving. Showering is definitely up there.
Showering yourself with anything.
Quite right. Okay. Food or whatever.
Yes.
But anyway, I would give David about 40 to 45 minutes heads up. Yeah. He would then proceed down to his gaming
area. I would have a shower first.
He would have a shower. Yeah. Proceed to his gaming area, set up, and commence setting up the game.
I probably need another shower after I'm set up because it's quite vigorous.
Hard work.
It's hard work. Usually, at which point I would then arrive with some snacks. And the game would be ready to go.
David always brings the snacks.
I don't know if I've talked enough about the components or you wanted some more detail.
What snacks would you get?
Pretzels.
What would you recommend for a game of Arkham Horror? What sort of pretzels would be good?
Salted
pork flavored pretzels.
We've had
those chocolate covered ones in the store that time. Dave left them there. I just consumed the entire box because no one bought me lunch that day.
Yeah,
I was quite ill.
They are very hard to get, and it's interesting you say no one bought you lunch. I don't know what that means.
You know, I always tried to get, you know, when you go to Coles and you'll see things on shelves and you just go, whoever buys that?
Yeah.
You can get little octopus tentacles.
Oh, yeah, I love octopus tentacles.
They're actually quite nice because
we should have bought some of the snacks for the podcast. We should have. On theme.
We did, Aaron. Look at them. There they are.
Oh.
Hey, we got tentacle snacks.
Tentacle delicious. Snacks.
So.
They're no Mentos.
It's Fantasy Flight. There's going to be loads of components.
Production value is very high.
This would be in the... Whereabouts on your tier scale?
Oh, definitely in the tier one of the Aaron Graham board game scale. The AGBGS.
Yeah.
I think I joined that group. Is that a group?
Hackbugs.
They send me an email every week.
Yeah. That's me. You didn't know it was me?
I didn't know.
Sending out the AGBGS?
The guy on the picture, he doesn't look anything like...
I wear a wig. And shave my beard.
Every week.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And then glue back on the remnants of my beard to come into work so you don't know it's me.
I'm not going to call you a liar.
You have a man shave your beard every week and read Lovecraft to you as you wander off to sleep.
You're laying out the location cards, the item cards. There's a mythos deck, which every turn... Something that should be pointed out about this game is that... So firstly, it's cooperative. You're playing as a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of you and your friends... playing as a team against I always tend to call it the AI. Obviously, it's not artificial intelligence. It's just cards, and you're turning them over. But at the end of every turn, every player's turn, you have to advance all these decks so that the board game gets to play against you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which can be intensive work. So it might be good to have one or two experienced players there to do all of that stuff.
Mansions of Madness, you had to have a GM.
That's correct.
Right? You can't play it without
storyteller.
A GM.
Storyteller. Yeah.
Yeah, storyteller. Yes, and they take on the role of advancing all the things and moving monsters in rooms against you. Mm. But in this, you don't need one. It kind of plays all
Yeah, itself. It's the responsibility of the players. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, as you're doing that, you're advancing the game each turn. It's steadily getting harder for you and your investigators and your team, and you are forced to work together. Even if You didn't, even if you didn't want to. It's definitely not a game that you can win by everyone. It just does their own thing. That's why it ranks so highly in the cooperative game field.
And we would do that, wouldn't we? If you play, draw your characters. And we would do that, wouldn't we? We would play if you have your characters. If you draw them randomly, I mean, when we started off playing, we would look through which ones we wanted and choose them specifically. And even just if it was just Dave and I playing, we'd often play two characters. I mean, when you get more players there, it's fine. You can have just the one, but because they all have certain attributes that favor a certain activity in the game, like that would. Usually pick, right, you're the guy who goes around killing all the monsters. Keep the monsters low, because otherwise they start getting, you won't get a monster surge, and then they're everywhere.
High health, lower sanity, and someone else
and
is
good with, good with a gun, comes with a shotgun or something like that to start with, because otherwise you've got to go to the various places, and you'd have to go to the shop and buy a gun. Yeah. And then there'll be other people, characters, that are good at closing gates. There's a card called the Elder Sign, which gives you a free closing of a gate, doesn't it? If you go through the gate.
There's closing and there's sealing.
That's right.
Yeah, you can close them as a test, but you can only seal them if you have an Elder Sign, and you can either get it as an item, or you get the counter. And then
you
can seal
them. Not permanently closed.
That's right. They will open. Mm-hmm. But if you seal them,
an opportunity to reopen that location. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can win the game just by closing all the gates. If there's a turn where all the gates are closed, the investigators win as a team. Mm-hmm. If you don't seal them, then monsters can come back through, and it's not unlikely because each turn, at the end of each player's turn, when you turn over the Mythos deck, it tells you where a gate spawns. Mm-hmm. The only reason a gate wouldn't spawn is if you've sealed that location previously, or if there's another gate already open on there. Mm-hmm. If there is another gate, you get what's called the Monster Apocalypse.
It might be called
Monster Surge.
Yeah. Tell me more. Oh, it's Monster Surge.
Yeah. Well, that's everything I can tell you right around that. Or and you just throw a lot of monsters onto the streets of Arkham, which you got to clean up because there's a horror track.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like being the Ghostbusters.
That bit is really flavorsome to hook into what the terror track is, because it starts at zero, and the more gates open up, and the more monsters that are in the streets, this triggers the terror track to go up, and various things will happen on the terror track.
Shops close.
Shops close, which is important.
The brothel is the first to close.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it's the last.
Yeah, I think it starts off with... it's just the general store closes at 3, and then is it the magic shop or the curiosity shop?
Yeah.
Just 6.
Yeah, and you got the other one? The spell tome selling shop.
Why do you have one of them in Arkham? That seems odd.
No, it's traditional.
Yeah. It's traditional, and having then, a tome shop.
Tome shop.
And then it gets the 10, and Terra is at 10. I think that's another trigger for the...
This is a good opportunity to mention Doom counters.
Yes.
This is what you're playing against. So the Cthulhu monster, which you randomize or you can choose it, depends, I suppose, if your group has someone who has some kind of attitude problem and just wants to play a specific one, or if you can...
Yeah.
If everyone's free and easy, and we've all been
free and easy,
yeah.
At one point,
hasn't always benefited us. Sometimes it's been painful. Sometimes it's been heartbreaking.
Yeah, or expensive.
It's always touching.
Yeah. Mm. So you have at the bottom of the beast,
always touching
the Cthulhu.
Yeah, it's always too
always
much touching.
Touching.
Always with the always touching. Touching. Yeah. Aaron's touching me now. Mm.
Always.
At the bottom of the Cthulhu beast is a doom track. And depending on the beast is how long or short the track is. Each time a gate opens...
Is the doom track the name of the beast's lower intestine?
Tract.
Yeah.
The doom tract.
Sorry, my mistake. You said below the beast is his doom tract, where all the doo comes out of.
And he takes a massive dump on Arkham, and that's how you lose.
The end of Arkham.
It's definitely one way to look at it. And then whenever a gate opens, you've got to place a doom counter. Whenever bad stuff happens in Arkham, you've got to place a doom counter. And what happens is once his doom track reaches critical mass, He appears. He just appears, and it's on. It's on for young and old.
And he has an end of game scenario, which if you see it's inevitable that that's going to happen, then you kind of want to tool up and get enough gear to be able to take him on.
You've
when
got to
he, when he arrives.
Change gears from the investigating and be like, okay, well, how are we going to deal
just
with gonna him
bash
when he arrives?
This dude. Yeah.
One of the ways that you can close a gate or seal a gate, which we've forgotten to mention, is to collect clue tokens. Mm-hmm. You don't always
and
need the elder
sign. And
this
is visiting different locations and stuff.
Yeah,
in
you
town.
Can go to a location. Isn't that like an activity? If you go there, you can choose to take it, or if it's just going to a
location.
If you
go there, you can pick it up at the start of your turn.
Right, and then you just grab a bag full. And you can waste them in some ways or use them to a
help
benefit.
Them.
Like,
yeah, you can add two dice rolls.
Yeah, like so if you're making a roll and it doesn't work out for you, you can spend a clue token, re-roll one of those dice.
Oh, it's, very, it's very tempting.
Yeah, but it's big currency. You don't want to waste because even if you're like the monster killer and the gate opens right near you and it's critical that doesn't happen, then you might find yourself jumping into that gate, going to the other world, coming back, and you're the guy to close it. And if you've got four clue tokens, you're like, oh, I'm just going to have to close it. I can't seal it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then the team's in a funny spot.
But it's in no way as quick to go through, travel through the other world as you just made it sound.
Yeah.
There's some bad stuff there. Insanity, you will really get pushed.
Yeah.
And if you lose it there, you end up in the lost into nothingness.
Lost in time and space?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like
well,
that.
I prefer my version. Yeah. The accurate version we should probably use. You get lost in time and space.
I think that's Doctor Who.
Where it's you lose all your stuff, you turn up at a hospital or an insane asylum,
mm-hmm. which is where you can go. You can go to hospital and recover your health. You can go to the asylum and recover your sanity. But you usually lose half your gear, don't you? So if you're
every time I check into a mental institution, they do take half of the things.
They
that
thieve
I
half of your stuff.
Why do they let you out?
What? Because they took the half of the stuff that I need, and then they fixed my sanity, and then I'd leave. I'd go and investigate more mysteries, Dave. What do you do when you go to the mental institute?
I signed him off as clear because I needed him to come and do this.
I think maybe your position needs a review.
Yeah, especially because I'm not a consultant psychiatrist.
I'll just sign this man out. He's on a podcast. Yeah. But he's eating his own feet.
His peculiar brand of madness will come in helpful with what we have to do this evening. There's a lot to keep in mind. I think we played it through two or three times. And the first two or three times we'd play, we'd get to the end and we'd go, oh, there was that to do. You know, we totally forgot about that because it's quite dense. So it's, I think it is a game that gets better with the more experienced players that you have. Mm-hmm. Guess if there's just one guy doing it, you're leaning on him quite heavily to remember everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you've played it through a couple of times, it's not too bad. And then you start picking up on the flavor of it a lot more. And then I really think it comes into it takes it to another level. And
Do you think it's possible for people that aren't familiar with the mythos to kind of enjoy the game?
Yeah, you definitely. I mean, but you just, again, it goes
you've
to different levels.
By someone that is
familiar. It goes to different levels. But you can certainly play it. Just, mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say is like a, you know, if you haven't gamed much, can you walk into the sky?
No,
I don't think you can.
No, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, but I think you've got to have someone there to guide you through it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the danger as well, because it's collaborative. If you've got someone who's, you know, played a couple of Gateway games, just stepping into a little bit more involved gaming, and they come and join a group where there's two or three people that have gamed or they played Arkham Horror, I don't know if they're going to...
They're
probably just going to get bossed around. You've got to be kind of mindful just to go, that's your character. You know, do what you want. We're trying to do this.
Oh,
I think that's the team
plan.
You
let the beast in.
You could get railroaded.
Thanks, Richard.
You, the new guy. Yeah, thanks, buddy. That's the downfall of competitive games and
collaborative.
Cooperative.
Cooperative?
No, I do mean
competitive.
Collaborative.
Yeah, well, you said the word
competitive
when you meant collaborative.
That's the downfall, right? That's what that's what they were working against.
There's a lot of C words. Is that the C word when they say that? That's what they mean, isn't it? When they say, don't use the C word, are they talking about competitive?
They're talking about corroborees.
Comparative.
Yeah.
When you're playing comparative games...
Yeah, I'm so stupid. That's a C word.
Don't say it. It'll summon him.
The thing the designers struggle against is this situation where one person will take charge. Some games have used different methods, like a timer, so there's not so much time. to have one person tell everyone what to do. You've got to be independent.
Right.
In Pandemic, they say that you are not allowed to look at other people's hands. Even though you can completely tell them, it's so you can't just be looking at other people's hands and just be
just
like...
Just making calls. What, yeah.
Yeah, like pointing and being like, you should be doing this. And it took us a while to figure that out. It says, you can't look at each other's hands. And we're like, why? And we just played with open hands, but we could see if someone was more experienced that you would just be able to be like, I'll just make your move for you. I'll make your move for you. I'll make your move for you. And they're just like... Oh, I'm just sitting here while you play four different people playing the same game.
Yeah, yeah. And, I've also had the opposite experience where one person has done their own thing and just constantly been like, I did that. Look how many gates I have closed. Yeah. I'm kicking ass in Arkham. You're doing shit all.
Yeah, you're going to get significantly whipped if you do that because the more players, the more, you know, it modifies the AI of the game. Yeah, so if one person goes and does their own thing, everyone else, you know, you still, if it's three people and that one guy, you're playing a four-player game, and the game's going to get four-player, it's a play, you know, advantage
one
or something.
Be stopping everything that happens.
Yeah, and they can't do that. So if they're doing their own thing, the three other people have got to deal with four people's worth of crap that's happening. Mm. You know, it'd be very difficult. Because this is a game where we've played it and we've thought, right, we're getting in front, we've got it untouched, right, we've just got that one gate, or, you know, there's just this one thing to do, and we'll have it won. You flip the Mythos card, all hell breaks loose, and you're fucked. Yeah.
Everyone gets tentacled.
Yeah. It happens just like that. Like so many games we've had, and we've just walked away going, the AI in that game is brilliant. You know, it's always got a way of catching up, and you always keep
changing. I actually set up, if you remember in our games, I set up like a warning thing so that we would have to know if we counted up all the gates and it was two away from closure, we had to take action, and it was someone has to go and close a gate now, and we had to have that warning there because otherwise, well, I don't know, we're obviously not very good at the game. But.
And they're like, oh, there's a, oh, what's it? Ah, and then everyone is dead
because to seal a gate, or even just to close it, you've got to get to the place, then you've got to go, you get drawn through the gate, you go to the other world, which has got a two-turn phase to it, and then you come back and do a turn.
It's a hard shift.
It's a four or five turn thing.
Three day in the Netherworld.
And four or five Mythos cards in this game can just bury you. You know, by the time you come back, that mission that was so vital four or five turns ago is just like it's mute now. You know, moot now, not mute. It could still speak. That's right, it's the Monster Cup, isn't it? That's what they refer
to. Yeah, they refer to the Monster Cup.
Yeah. They describe it as like, you know, sort of like a non-see-through cup. They go to quite some lengths just to say, so you can't see what game you're getting.
Because I can imagine they were playtesting it. People were just putting it in a see-through cup and going, like, this game is easy.
That's a good one. It's a cultist every time.
That's something we should mention. The monsters are of different difficulty levels.
Yeah.
And different ratios. So there's a good chance you'll get a lot of the smaller
and the different
creatures,
and the creatures have different skills as well.
They do, you'll have an effect in the game that will allow all creatures of a certain type to move in a particular direction, so up and down the street. The AI is rather fantastic, actually, the way it sort of coordinates everything. Mm-hmm. And you might occasionally, as an investigator, find yourself hemmed in by three or four monsters.
Mm-hmm. And the color they got. All the monsters have different coloured borders, which tell you, like, night gaunts have a light blue border, which means that they're flyers. And there's part of it where they will move to the sky. And if you end up ending your go in the streets or something like that, then you can become prone to attack from above.
Yeah, don't end your go in the street.
Don't end your go in the street if there's creatures in the sky.
Well, I think it's a good rule of thumb. Don't end your go in the street.
What else can happen to you?
That's in any game, don't end your go in the street. But in this game...
Zombicide? Ooh, there's some excitement about Zombicide today.
There's a lot of parallels between the kind of exploration and then running to Zombicide and stuff, right?
Is that a question? I thought I was a statement coming.
The two games are quite similar, yes?
No. What would you say, David?
Let's cut that bit out because I hadn't played either of them. And some of the stuff you're saying, I was like, that sounds a bit like that Zombicide.
Well, that's all right. If you haven't already cut this out, don't necessarily have to, because I think Aaron here is playing the part of the ignorant listener.
Yeah. We don't have ignorant listeners. We've got a very highbrow audience, Dave.
I didn't mean uneducated. Look, this is a highbrow podcast, as far as I was aware when I signed up to come onto this.
Out. Yeah,
that's what we told you to get in.
Did you want to ask a question?
No, it's gone.
Have you got no, no seriously, you got it's a question? Okay. No, you seem like you had a question. You had your question face.
Piped up a bit.
And then there was some words which we've edited out now. But we could go back if you want to delve back into where the your question
he
box.
He won't necessarily say no. Like you did before.
Is it not true?
No. Well, oh, sorry, I jumped in.
In the Lovecraft mythos, the more that you know, the more insane you get.
Brilliant. Yeah. Have you listened to the beginning of this podcast? Because I'm fairly sure someone else is already...
Yeah. Aaron's research includes the earlier parts of this podcast.
I've been listening intently. Yeah. Yeah. A little earpiece.
Yes.
10 minutes ago was coming... Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
You've got it on delay. Yeah. I didn't know this was a live feed.
Wait till you hear about Arkham Horror. Brilliant game. All right, so to finish off, Arkham Horror, it's a beautiful game. I usually tell people it's my favorite game. I love the Lovecraft thing all over. I love all of it. I've loved all of his stuff, read all his books. Mm-hmm. And I like just getting into the world and playing against his monsters and mm-hmm. spookiness. And yeah, I mean, yeah. And this game is immersive and it looks good and it's got a good strong narrative to the game. Mm-hmm. And
it sounds like all the elements of it tend towards a very immersive experience. Yeah.
And it's cooperative, so that's a shared experience, yeah, as
which
well.
I also enjoy
with your mm-hmm. friends. And it's up to 8 players, so even some of your friends' friends.
Oh, wow.
And it's down. It says 1 to 8, so you can actually play it by yourself.
But I
definitely recommend that you take more than just one character if you're going to do that. It's pretty difficult to play one character against the game.
Well, as you mentioned, it does scale down the difficulty, but it is a hard task, just as it would be in real life.
In one player, it's just like a goat, and you're like, "Hey, goat," and it's just wandered out
an
of an
angry
open
goat.
Gate, and you're like, "Better close that."
Is it a black goat?
The end. It was black. Yeah. It was the black goat of the woods.
Yeah, there you go. What have we got for expansions for this then, Dave?
Because this
is cool. This is...
Yeah. You need a big, there's some crazy stuff.
You need a big table.
Oh, you do, yeah. Well, you do because a lot of the big expansions add another board to it.
Add another town usually, isn't it? It's like
I didn't want to say that in case people thought it added another town. It adds a town on a board. You add another...
If you'd said either of them... People would have assumed that it meant either and it wouldn't have mattered.
But if you're happy with the idea that the board is Arkham, when you add another smaller board, that is another town. Yeah?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, well, the expansions are Dunwich, Innsmouth, Kingsport, and Miskatonic University. So they all add... You're furrowing your brow at me at that one.
Miskatonic University?
Yeah, there is one. Even though it's on the main board as a location. Okay.
When you go into it, do you go onto the separate board?
I haven't played that one.
Oh.
I've played the other three that I mentioned.
Oh, okay.
They all add a huge element of difficulty to the game, I think.
Really?
We found you really needed an additional player just to monitor what's going on
on
that board.
It's just like, your job is to go and deal with that special mechanic. Like the Innsmouth one, that one has a track that occurs and an Innsmouth look mechanic within the town, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what happens with it. There's some sort of there's like a semicircle of tokens, and you just need people to go around as mopping up activity within that town.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, if that peaks out, then you get something nasty happen or something to the ancient one.
They sort of replicate the Doom track on these boards as well. So you always have the recurring theme is that you always have something that's building that the investigators need to keep on top of. So in one of the other ones, it's other gates opening, and if you allow too many of those gates opening, then they just spawn monsters all over the boards. My favorite, I think, is Dunwich. If you're familiar with the tales, the Dunwich horror, you do get to fight the Dunwich horror if you don't keep on top of it. He's a ginormous, beastly creation with many limbs.
And it's very cool because the locations within those towns are from the story as well, mm-hmm. and the family, the characters that come up, like the Whateleys and all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
they
come up in the game.
They're in there as well.
Cool.
It's like really neat. You know, like you turn over an event card and it's like, you know, are you talking to, you know, this guy, I think it's Wilbur Whateley, and he's doing such and such, and you're just like, ah, it's cool. That's the guy from the story. It's such an easy little name dropping activity, but it really sort of gets you in there.
Yeah, and there's numerous other little expansions which add cards. Injuries, consequences of insanity, that kind of stuff. So
that sounds great.
You can get cursed, blessed. And there's different... shouldn't have started that.
I like games that expand and make the game more difficult because it's just like... It's not like you've solved the original game. It's just they're just like, let's just throw a little bit more at you.
Yeah, the crazy thing is the original game is difficult rock enough. Hard anyway.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah.
It's like Mike Tyson just got into his own mech warrior thing, and he's going, now I'm going to punch you in the face again, but with this huge robotic fist. And you're like, but it was bad before.
I couldn't have beaten you before you did. Well, I'm in it now.
Yeah, might as well.
You signed up for this,
you
buddy.
You paid me $69.99.
Oh, look at this. I just installed nuclear weapons to its backpack. I'm firing that to your face, and you've just got your face with some skin on it, and that's your defense.
How are you doing? Now my robot's made of lava. It's going to just touch you.
So that's Mike Tyson. You're dead. Mike Tyson in a mech with nuclear weapons, and then it's all made of lava.
And then it's just made of lava.
Yeah, that's three. If you add three expansions.
Yeah.
It's Aaron's top 10.
Cthulhu edition.
Here we go. All right, that's all right, brilliant. Everyone. Let's vibe up. Let's get the top
let's
10
get it
happening.
Going. Let's
this is what everyone's tuning in for. In this has probably got its
should
own.
Should I play the flute?
I was just thinking. For the love of God, play the flute again. And I can honestly, I can confirm that is Aaron playing the flute. We didn't get someone in.
So today's top 10 is going to be about top 10. Cthulhu references in popular culture.
Is it Cthulhu references or is it Lovecraft references?
Lovecrafty Cthulhu references.
Because they are different things.
I thought the...
Or maybe do both.
I thought the P in HP Lovecraft stood for Cthulhu.
The P, yeah. Yeah, silent
Cthulhu starts with the silent P. Everyone knows that. P-C-T-H, then the rest of the word.
Number 10.
Expanding on... the ever-popular, ever-changing rules game Flux, Cthulhu Flux, one of the best-rated versions of the game. Board Game Geek says, the quality of the cards are medium weight and glossy. 4 out of 5.
Oh, we got to report in the quality of the actual paper.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's what...
We've never done that.
No, but Board Game Geek do it, and that's a professional institution run by volunteers.
Number nine on Aaron's top 10 Lovecraft references in popular culture.
Sticking with the board game things, I thought I'd chain them. Smash Up, popular game.
Can I guess the name?
Yep.
Cthulhu Expansion.
My goodness. I think they were very well aware that sticking Cthulhu on any board game name makes it sell slightly more. This one, the expansion of the original game, Smash Up, the obligatory Cthulhu set.
Brilliant.
I do like how they've got a bit of insight into the fact that they're totally raping a man who's been dead for like 80 years of his intellectual property. And they're just thinking, right, we're just going to make some money out of this because no one's coming suing us.
From their description, when you thought Smash Up might escape, the International Gaming Authority, IGA, reminded us we were honor-bound to include Cthulhu in one of our products. So we set on to make the Cthulhuist product ever.
Brilliant.
So
it's attractive. I've seen the cover. There is definitely a graphic depiction of a Cthulhu beast.
It's holding someone in his hand.
Yeah.
He has tentacles for a face.
It's all happening.
And it says, Smash Up, the obligatory Cthulhu set, number 9.
Rudimentary wings.
Top 10. Yeah, rudimentary.
Size of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much verbatim how Lovecraft described him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you'll find.
Large. Mm-hmm. Squid-like appendages.
Hung like a... No, forget about it.
he doesn't mention
that. He edited that bit out. Yeah. He thought, I've said enough. Because it's terrifying enough.
It's from the point of view of the first guy that witnesses it, and he's not going to note down the genitalia.
Well, I don't know, because he's the size of a mountain, so as soon as he stands up and comes out of the ocean...
That's all you've got.
Pretty much, you've just got two massive thighs and some swingers right in front of the ship. The head.
Yeah.
Goodness knows what's going on up there.
I can't even see the head. It's in the clouds.
No, it's in the clouds. It's gone.
The balls are what concerns me.
Yeah, that's why when they drove the ship into him, he went, I've had enough. Cthulhu went, oh, fuck it, I've had enough.
He went away.
Yeah, just drove into his
he
nuts.
Did go
and
away.
Going like, oh, the stuff.
Does it reduce his dignity that he's just free-hanging? He's unclothed?
No, it adds to it.
It does.
To the menace.
Yeah, the menace.
The other day I was at the beach. It was late. Sun was going down. There was a rock kind of floating oddly in the ocean. It was a porous rock.
Did you unleash it earlier on when you couldn't be bothered walking to the toilets?
A porous rock.
Yeah.
I unleashed it.
Yeah.
I rose majestically out of the water as I often do. Water dripping down my beard, And then I noticed some small fellows living on the rock, Gilligan's Island style.
Oh, right.
Is Gilligan's Island?
No. What's the scale here of this rock?
No, you're talking about Gulliver's Travels.
Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Gilligan's Island. That's a TV show.
Those are shipwrecked humans.
Yeah.
Gulliver's Travels style.
You have a Lilliputian mind is what you have.
Yeah, Lilliputian, yeah. So I rose out of the water, and then I went down to try and speak to the people of the rock, but they didn't speak my language, and so they gave me some weird name that I didn't know. I was nude, and then
drove a boat into your nuts.
And then they drove a boat into my nuts, and I was very upset. And then I had to
just go.
Leave.
What about number eight on Aaron Graham's Lovecraft references in popular culture?
I hope it's not
another game with Cthulhu in the title.
It's not. It's
Yay!
Not. It's a TV show. It's a gothic soap opera named Dark Shadows. Have you guys seen this?
Never heard of that.
No. Well, I've flicked past it once.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like the Addams Family, except they're a little bit more serious. It's like Home and Away, but everyone is sad and pale. And then for like a few episodes, a ten episode thing, they did a bit of a Cthulhu.
That sounds
awful.
For 10
episodes?
Yeah, for 10 episodes. Absolutely.
So it's Home and Away with Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Right.
Classic combination.
I think I went down a few depression points. I lost a bit of sanity. And,
You guys should let me know how many sanity points you lose after learning about each of these things.
About number seven, maybe.
Number one is a doozy.
Okay.
Let me just preface that.
Well, here we come then with number seven.
Number seven, Cthulhu reference in popular culture.
Aaron Graham's. Lovecraft references in popular culture.
Can I play the flute? No.
No, okay, don't. Sure. Put that away.
In Batman, the mental asylum is called Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, woof. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah.
Because
Arkham is a fictitious place invented by H.P. Lovecraft. Mm-hmm. And then it's in Batman.
Bam! Batman
can it be any
it.
More cooler than that? All right, number six.
Number six.
On Aaron Graham's Lovecraft references in popular culture.
In the book Soul Eater.
Ah, Soul Eater.
According
which
to...
Which volume?
Wikipedia. There's a black mass that resides inside the Book of Abon, and it's most likely a nod to Lovecraft's Cthulhu.
It's just a nod.
So it's like a third-party reference.
A third-party reference in a thing that isn't really about Cthulhu or anything.
Right.
And there's a black mass living inside a book, and... It's likely.
Might be. It's, might it's, have been.
It might have been an allusion to the Cthulhu.
Did they ask
of
the
Lovecraft
guy? Is it?
Well, it's, you no, should, it's, why do you keep saying Cthulhu?
Lovecraft's Cthulhu.
So the black mass in the book is Cthulhu?
Who
is the size of a mountain? So how big is the book?
It's a large book.
Twice the size of a mountain.
Gulliver's Travels-esque. Right. The book that he has with him looks very large to the Lilliputians.
Now it's like I need to read the Necronomicon and Gulliver's Travels to get a complete picture.
Well, I wouldn't read. What was it called? Soul whatever?
Soul Eater.
Soul Eater.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of books I read. Soul Eater, Face Cruncher.
All right, number five on Aaron Graham's Lovecraft references in popular culture.
This is one of my favorites. I assume it's pronounced resume.
Yeah.
Resume with monsters.
Instead of resume with monsters.
We paused with the monsters. Now we're going to resume with the monsters.
Curriculum vitae of monster.
This one is a humorous novel about a worker who battles a series of bad jobs.
Right. This is what I found about Lovecraft references in popular culture, is that they're usually attached to something really kind of dodgy and crap. I know I'm not saying Batman is awesome, but everything you get a lot is like they've gone.
This is
2 out of 10. Oh, what are we gonna do? Put the Necronomicon in it. They're 8 out of 10. Brilliant. Yeah.
This was my favorite because it's just a humorous novel about a worker who battles a series of bad jobs. That could be a thing by itself. And then at the end it just says, oh, and Lovecraft's Elder Gods.
Right, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Battles a series of bad jobs and Lovecraft's Elder Gods. So just as a throw-in.
Number four, Lovecraft references popular culture.
Number four is Hayore Nyaruku-san.
Right.
Which is a Japanese light novel and subsequent manga.
A light
which,
novel.
Which represents Cthulhu mythos creatures as aliens that are trying to defend or exploit the Earth, as they generally do.
Defend or exploit.
But they're all portrayed as young girls.
Right.
And one is an effeminate boy.
Right. Only one.
The rest are girls.
Right. You can hang with us. You're fairly effeminate.
You're an effeminate boy.
What's his name, Aaron?
Haster.
Which is Japanese for Aaron.
Did what?
He's saying you're an effeminate boy who hangs out with Cthulhu girls.
Oh. So you two are the ladies and I'm the effeminate... Would you rather be
he's
a
done
woman
us there, Dave.
Or an effeminate boy?
Ah, oh, that's a shame. I didn't even write anything down from them before because it was just words I didn't understand.
It's Japanese. Hayori Nyoruku-san, what's not to understand?
Yeah, I couldn't get... I wasn't sure where to put a hyphen.
Nyoruku and wait, San.
Some of those are in italics.
Obviously.
Number three, we're hotting up now. And this is what three. Dave likes to think of as the bronze position.
that was something
now,
that was introduced
to me.
We did
the bronze position last week and did not work out very well.
Could not video it.
Okay, now
I was bronzed.
Aaron Graham's number three, Lovecraft references in popular culture. He loves this one. This is his favorite, but he put it number three anyway.
From the school of young adult paranormal romance genre comes Awoken, about a girl who falls in love with Cthulhu, who appears at her high school.
Oh, really, good lord.
In the guise of a teenage boy.
Yes. So she falls in love with a teenage boy.
Yeah, who really likes Cthulhu, and he's like, oh, I bet I could convince this stupid girl that I'm Cthulhu. And she's like, that's it. The boy that I've fallen in love with.
Number two. Graham, Lovecraft references in popular culture. This will be good. Silver medal position.
Silver medal. It took me a lot of time to not put
to
this
say
number
this
one.
Sentence.
To say this sentence.
Yeah, go on.
It took me a lot of time, effort, a lot of hard thinking between one and two.
Yeah.
Number two is Rise of the Eldrazi from Magic the Gathering.
He's got a Rise magic reference in there.
In a very novel-esque way, the block of Zendikar, when you first come to the world, it's full of adventure, the terrain seems itself alive, and there's all these mysterious hedgerons which are like
nothing like
mystical,
anything Lovecraft ever talked about. Here, go.
Mystical prisms that are just around this world, and there's lots of treasure and hidden danger and that sort of thing. As the block goes on, the world becomes more and more in turmoil.
Yeah,
and then the third block, by some unfortunate accident, three planeswalkers have found in this area they call the Eye of Ujin, which happens to be the lock that's keeping these Cthulhu-esque gods beneath the earth of Zendikar, and they accidentally go there and open it, and it just kills them, and they kill everyone.
So how come we've had all magic releases since then, if everyone's dead?
Oh, there's different planes, different universes. Everyone in that plane died, and the Eldrazi are just...
So we're not
going
to have Return to Rise of the Eldrazi.
No, you can't.
Return to Zendikar.
You can't return to Zendikar because everyone died. So the Eldrazi just kind of rose out of the earth, and then Rise of the Eldrazi.
Why couldn't that
about...
have happened to Ravnica, and we could just have Eldrazi back?
That would have been fantastic. But when the Eldrazi do come back, it's going to be because they're invading another plane. Because they
could invade Ravnica and eat everyone that we hated in Ravnica. Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh god, Amara Tandris.
Yeah,
annihilates you.
Should be first on the dinner plate. Gold medal position.
Yeah.
Number one on Aaron Graham's Lovecraft references in popular culture, we have
The Adventures of Samurai Cat.
Oh yeah. That's now you're talking.
Now we know the character Adventures. Samurai Cat traverses time and space on a mission of revenge, and at one point is vaguely mentions H.P. Lovecraft's The Shadow over Innsmouth.
Is that Innsmouth? No, carry on.
Lovecraft. Yeah. So, Samurai in The Adventures of Samurai Cat, a cursory glance at Lovecraft. So, I think that's probably the biggest popular culture reference that Cthulhu has ever received.
Okay, so there's quite a few other Lovecraft games that are out there. Instead of just like covering them all briefly or mentioning one and not having gone into it deep enough,
we
thought
we'd
just
come back to go deep on a couple of the games that are just huge.
Most of these topics, these theme shows, we're going to come back to, you know, with other games as they come out. And you know, if there's a game that excites us, you know, we might do another zombie game, or we'll probably never do Trains again, though, will we?
I brought up the Trains idea because I love the game Railways of the World, and that wasn't even the one that you reviewed in the
Seven
show.
Seven Hand Board rejected that
idea. The reason is because the only thing that, well, Matt had never heard of the game, and the only thing I could say about the game was that someone had left it at my house once and it became my possession.
Oh, are you going to bring it to me? Didn't we mention that once?
It's not yours.
Now. No, could I purchase it from you? That's what I'm saying.
You can have it.
Oh, yeah.
What? You just gave him a game. Have you got any other games you could give to me?
I have Cthulhu Dice.
Oh, Cthulhu segue. Dice.
Sorry, we did then.
How's Cthulhu Dice, Dave?
Yeah. You could play it in between us talking about different things on this game. It's that quick.
You know that bit before we were talking about how both of you just showered, and then when you got to David's house, you had a bit more time to shower. Can you play it in between showers?
You can play it in the shower.
You can play it in the shower.
The dice are waterproof.
You can play it whilst driving.
Dice aren't waterproof, Dave.
Oh, some of them are.
I think dice are waterproof.
The ones that aren't made out of marshmallows are all waterproof.
Oh,
try it.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's where I was going wrong. Also, my magic cards are really sticky. I put a lot of counters on them. Made of marshmallows, so just kind of ruined them beyond repair.
You know the counters that you use to put on your magic cards, the little gemstones, they're in Cthulhu Dice. That's where they got the idea from. Cthulhu Dice is a dice. It's a multi-sided dice. It's one dice.
A D.
You want me to say die?
No, I was just wanting to point out, Aaron tried to get us off topic. He was saying his magic cards are sticky, and that's more because he's got a thing for Amara Tandris, not marshmallows.
I just want
the record
is
to
that,
stand.
I haven't been on the show enough. Is that something that you reference a lot?
Yeah.
How much I hate Amara Tandris. Yeah.
Or make your cards sticky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, both. They actually do come up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually listen to the podcast. My wife takes notes and she just reads me the best bits.
Whilst you're in the bar.
Listening.
What is awesome is that she...
Dave just relaxing.
She does the voices. She does the voices. Oh, so yeah. Because otherwise I can't picture it.
And then David said...
And this is Aaron. Yeah. And she does your little mannerisms.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. She strokes her beard.
Strokes her beard. Whilst playing the flute.
Plays Dave's wife plays with her bed flute whilst Dave's in the bath.
Okay.
Stroking.
Okay, two questions.
Yeah, go on.
First, what's a bed flute?
It's a knob.
Second?
Oh, it's a penis. Second, ATM stands for automatic teller machine at the moment. And also a bunch of in-jokes that you guys were telling the other day. What does it mean?
Hey, listen to the intro to this podcast.
It's one of those ones. It's deep. Deep with the recesses of the intro.
It's very deep, and then it's not, and then it gets cleaned off. Anyway.
Someone came in the other day and said...
I hope not.
I laughed so much at MTG.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How come you ever told me this story?
I only just remembered it then. No. And they were just like... They were like, I thought that was a really great joke. It was just like a...
It's nice that you just get the feedback. Like, they haven't come specifically to tell you that. I assume they've come for something else. But they're like... That's the guy.
I'd never seen him before.
I'm going to suck up the courage, and I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to tell him how I feel.
That MTG joke was great, and then they just leave.
Who are you? How did you listen to the podcast?
There's a guy wearing an MTG t-shirt.
It wouldn't be hard to get those printed.
Of the podcast, just on a shirt.
We've got so many ideas for badges. We need to get through the Hyper Magic Nerd ones, don't we?
Yeah.
There's the foil Brimaz badges.
Oh, foil.
Is it limited to badges? I've never heard you mention anything else.
What?
Could you do hats?
Oh, well, I don't know. We don't know what the Seven Land Hand budget is.
You don't know what the budget is, but you bought the badges.
Yeah, just spend.
Wait for the phone to ring.
We're sponsored by Good Games, St. James. Yeah. And we might
Which
be a little bit ahead.
Store.
We might be ahead of the budget on what they've provided.
Yeah. They say you've got to spend money to make money, and we've spent shitload of money.
Yeah. On Hyper Magic Nerd badges.
People haven't just been giving us money for the privilege of having a badge.
How much do people pay to listen to the podcast? That's a subscription fee, isn't it?
$7.99
$7.99 a listen.
No, the podcast goes out for free.
What?
Mm-hmm. This is coming from our sponsor. This is the first time we've actually mentioned this.
You set up the subscription thing online where people had to pay.
I set up the sponsorship thing, right. so we can say we're sponsored by Good Games and James.
But no,
I thought you were doing the subscription thing.
There was a thing where people were going to download.
What? They're getting this for free.
They're getting this for free.
Why are we even here?
You're doing this.
We had a whole meeting
at the beginning of this, and you guys. There was a whole list of applicants, and you guys were like. Love this free stuff. And whatever you said, we'll do. All that kind of stuff.
How much did them Hyper Magic Nerd badges cost us then? We're in deep.
I didn't buy them. Did you buy them?
We'll have to...
I didn't buy
We'll have to get you. Just we'll have to get the money out afterwards. We'll have to put in some money. I get some coins or something together.
I know at least one of you. Ooh, it's got some kind of student.
I'm not going to be able to feed my family.
No, I'll have to go hungry.
They're all much older than me.
Can any of them eat badgers?
I think if you put them in a pot with some water, you get some kind of stew going.
Yeah, you can. You will. It's some kind of stew.
Don't all inks come from natural sources? You know, the red in Skittles comes from beetles.
Everything is natural.
Vegetarians can't eat Skittles or
everything
Smarties.
Is natural.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, it comes from a carob beetle.
They can, but it's a life choice that they won't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They want to contest the beetle.
Oh, grim days ahead. Anyway, so if you're listening to this and enjoying it, please just pay the $8.99 a minute. And if, you know, because you probably listen to other episodes, you probably just send a couple of $100 to Seven Land Hand. And
from my knowledge, it was one of those call lines. 1-800-7-LAND-HAND.
I've got Kate Beckinsale coming in next week. You know how much she costs? She's like thousands.
Yeah, I thought that was covered in the advertising budget.
I know, so did I. It's ridiculous. So,
Cthulhu's coming on in a couple weeks. He cost me many sanities.
He's always on.
Aaron, get Kate on the line. We'll have to cancel her.
You can't disappoint her. Whatever it is, we'll just extend the budget.
She has that disappointed voice on the phone.
So sexy.
But it's free.
Sexy.
It's free.
I saw
snacks.
Her signature today at Comic Con.
Did you buy it?
No, the picture wasn't good. She signed it. And she also signed it Cat. And I thought, why has she forgotten the last letter of her first name?
She did not sign this, did she?
Exactly, is what I thought.
PR man of hers.
And I looked at the woman behind the counter and just pointed to her face and said, screamed liar.
And ran. At her.
Were you nude at the time?
Yeah, well, it was at Comic Con. It seemed like the thing to do. I was cosplaying.
Cosplaying as the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
What?
During the handsome years.
During his nude years.
Yeah.
His nude and handsome years.
During the assessment scene where they
Alright. Yeah. Cthulhu dies.
I've played about six games of Cthulhu Dice in this time.
Cthulhu Dice are waterproof.
They are waterproof.
They went down a slippery slope.
Yeah.
They went down the plug hole. They just dissolved into marshmallows.
I like to call it a slippery slope.
Yeah, okay.
If Matt was here, he would segue back to Cthulhu Dice.
If Matt was here.
Definitely.
And that was me segueing back to Cthulhu Dice.
Oh, we've talked enough about Cthulhu Dice, I think. I've got a full grasp of what they're about.
The crazy thing is, it's the shortest game in the world, and I didn't have time to tell you about it.
Yeah, well, that's gone now. We'll revisit that in a future Lovecraft. What else have we got? Just throw one out there. What else? Mansions of Madness. Oh, that's proper cool.
I think we
cool.
can go fully in depth on that one in a future podcast because I've played that one.
And we tend to have, we play that at the big get-togethers, big seven-hand get-togethers. And we've got one of those coming up, so we'll just crack open the Mansions of Madness and go crazy with it.
You're making it sound like it's open invitation. It definitely isn't.
You're just upset because you haven't been invited.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience. You can't be anybody to
it's
get in.
It's just me
there.
And Aaron sitting in a room.
You've got to be somebody.
Waiting, twiddling our thumbs, waiting for the next podcast to come around. That's pretty much all we do.
Dave turned up at the door with a punnet of tentacles.
Brought some snacks.
To snack on. And
his hair was
like,
wet. He'd just go, why is your hair wet? He got a shower on the way here. In the car?
Car shower.
You know what he does? He just
Cthulhu dice.
He just removes the windscreen and keeps pressing the windscreen washer and
like,
he just cops it straight
like
in the face.
Mr.
He calls,
Bean.
He calls that a shower. And did Mr. Bean do that?
Yeah, I think he's trying to brush his teeth while he drives and he squirts the water.
I thought I'd discuss with some.
But that was part of the show. It's not something he does.
It's not Mr. Bean, the person.
You know, he wouldn't do that on the road.
No, I wouldn't.
No, well, you
should. So we'll get back to Mansions of Madness one day. What else is there out there in the world?
Inventions of Samurai Cat, the board game?
Yeah, forget about that one. That one's not good.
We're not doing that.
No, we're not doing that.
Eldritch Horror we've touched on.
Eldritch Horror we mentioned. We've sort of done
some preliminary
games.
How does it compare to Arkham Horror?
Well, I'd like to say that the idea was that it's a slimmed down version of Arkham Horror.
International.
Across the world, it's not just set in
Arkham. So they've slimmed it down but expanded it to the globe.
Literally the largest that it could be.
But it's designed because we didn't necessarily mention, but Arkham Horror can take up to 8 hours. It's a lengthy game.
Even though it says 2 to 4 hours on the box, they're lying.
Yeah, that was one of the games that tipped me off.
That's every board game, though. Because
can take up to 8 hours? Cthulhu dice.
All of them could. Cthulhu dice, I've had some intense bouts of Cthulhu dice. First of 49,000.
Yeah.
And I lost that one.
Brilliant.
That's pretty bad. Rematches next week. And many subsequent weeks.
So Eldritch Horror, we'll give that one a go. And I've played it once. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Arkham Horror, but Eldritch Horror was really good fun as well. Mm-hmm. And it combines some of the cool elements from the expansions for Arkham Horror. And I like how some of the I forget what they call them, really, like the big ancient ones, they have themed cards. So when you play against Azathoth, there's an Azathoth deck or a couple of decks. So it really flavors everything that happens in that game per that creature, which Arkham Horror doesn't do. It does slightly, doesn't it?
They have one rule that affects the gameplay.
Yeah, but
that's all.
Yeah, yeah. With an Eldritch Horror, it goes a bit deeper than that. So that seems cool.
Yeah, I'm going to mention one more.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Elder Sign.
Elder Sign's
a really fast-paced one, right? Well, more fast-paced than either of the two.
Is that a card-building game?
No, it's a dice game.
It's dice.
There's a board, but it's dice. And what it basically is, it's Arkham Horror, but you use dice and dice rolling, and you don't have characters. You do collect equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed to be a faster... Basically, it seems that, and I might be wrong, and if I don't know if FFG do listen to this, but if they do, I apologize in advance. It seems like they made Arkham Horror.
Yeah.
They made a lot of expansions, and then they kept getting feedback that, my goodness, this is a long game.
Yeah.
So they made Elder Sign, which was an attempt to make it a shorter game.
Yeah.
And that, although that worked, perhaps people didn't like the dice, they then made Eldritch Horror.
Which I think is a really good move. I really like that. Mm. I think that's good. I haven't played Elder Sign.
I was doing some reading about Arkham Horror, and when it originally came out in 1987, the rules were very different and much simpler than they are now.
Yeah,
I think it seems like they changed it a lot over time, and they're just like, do you know what would be cool? Doom Track. Do you know what would be cool? Lots of different locations.
It was one of those games that existed, and then Fantasy Flight came along, I think, and bought the rights to it and souped it up and made it look like a Fantasy Flight game.
Oh, yeah.
It is their bestseller.
I've seen one of those.
Is it their bestseller?
It's their bestseller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, by far.
I've heard of a lot of people playing it that aren't even real Cthulhu fans because it's just like it's the Lovecraft cooperative fans. Board game. Lovecraft fans, sorry. Yeah.
Cthulhu's just one big guy, just one in one story.
I was talking about a subset of Lovecraft fans.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones
who
like Cthulhu the best.
What else we got?
His best selling name.
Call of Cthulhu, the living card game. As if you watch any of their, they've got little. What Fantasy Flight have got? They've got for a few games, they've got little promo videos that show you how to play them.
Yeah.
But they say the whole name of the game every time, just so it's rock solid in your mind. So. You know, when they say...
In Call of Cthulhu, the living card game.
Yeah, it comes with dice. Just before you roll a dice in Cthulhu, the living card game, you want to make sure they're in your hand. Then roll the dice from the Cthulhu, the living card game. And it just goes on. This video will be about 3 minutes long, but it's 45 minutes. That's because this bastard keeps saying the whole title. And it says living card game every single time.
I'm going to go onto YouTube and make an edit of the video where every time they say Call of Cthulhu, the living card game, I'm just going to say... The game, and it'll have millions of hits because I've just made it more efficient.
Like
for
all
everyone.
Of your videos,
yeah,
all of my videos change. Are just making things more efficient, and people love it.
Actually, that might work. I would like to sponsor that.
I actually feed my family with the proceeds from my YouTube videos.
There's some money coming our way here, Aaron. I just said the word sponsorship, and we're in the red.
Yeah. We didn't even know there was different colored zones until today. We were just living on the podcast cloud.
Mm.
We'll have to
get Good Game St. James to look over our debts that we've amassed.
Do you have all the receipts from the things that we...
No, I just spent frivolously and just thought...
Do we have an accountant? Does he have them?
No. It's just you and me.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
It's a small operation.
Yeah,
I can tell that now just from looking at what's going on. There's polystyrene involved. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
you should have seen the first week in the pilot. It was just mounted on cardboard boxes. And my first experience coming into the podcast with Mr. and Master Wildsmith was... Don't bump the table too much. They might fall off the cardboard boxes.
That was the mic stands,
that
Aaron.
Was the
mic
slogan.
Stands.
Mic stands, by mistake.
Yeah.
I think that was the slogan for the pilot.
All
All right, are there any Lovecraft games that are out there that peeps should look out for and maybe even request that we review? And, you know, we know how thorough our reviews are. Mm-hmm. People really want to hear about.
When you were talking about Arkham Horror, actually, it reminded me a lot of Betrayal at House on the Hill, which we have reviewed on a previous podcast.
Yeah, the traitors.
Yeah, it's cooperative up to a point. Then the betrayer rises out of your midst at the House on the Hill. And it's more like a hodgepodge of horror tropes, including the...
Hodgepodge.
A hodgepodge, that's... That's a turn of phrase.
That's an elder one. Has rudimentary wings, tentacles on his face.
Hodgepodge.
Yeah, striking fear into everybody.
That's another badge t-shirt design. Ancient hodgepodge.
Hodgepodge. Just bang, hodgepodge.
Bang, hodgepodge.
Woof. All right.
Might have to make a bang treason shirt.
Just
two stick figures like in a field.
I'd like that. I'd buy one of those.
One treasoning the other.
One treasoning the shit out of the other one.
Black field with two stick figures. One of the stick figures looks like your mother.
The other bang, one's treason. Going at it. Bang, treason.
Yeah, Seven Land Hand.
I feel it was BAM.
It was BAM.
Almost definitely, you know, BAM.
I mean, I don't want to suggest to you that you listen to your own podcast, but you could listen back.
I haven't listened to any of the old podcasts because I thought I'd have to pay $8.99 a minute to hear it.
Yeah.
I thought, I can't afford that. I'm trying to run a podcast.
The fact I get to sit here and listen to us saying it, I'm doing it right now.
I'm downloading
it
now.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Bang. Bam. Boom.
Treason.
Woof. Treason. That's pretty much...
And you have a song on your hands.
We've pretty much summarised the first nine episodes. I think this is the ninth episode. We're going to double figures soon.
I'm going to go... This is going to go into my efficiency YouTube playlist. Just cut down 90 hours of Seven Land Hand into bang, boom, woof, 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 treason. And then just like petty whistle solos. The end.
And then Matt just comes in and just goes like, get back on track. All right, tweets and news. And forget about tweets and news. This is like housekeeping. This is the culmination of weeks and months and years of hard labor of everyone that we know, mm-hmm. including us. And this is going to get us further in the red. We're giving away Zombicide, Aaron.
All of our sponsorship money gone to a copy of Zombicide. It's in the first category of the AGBUG scale.
Yeah, it's the top level.
The AGBGS.
Yeah.
Level 1 game.
With our sponsorship money, they go, there's some money, and we've gone, right, let's like spunk it all on this prize, and we've just blown it, and there's nothing left. And we've bought badges, and, oh, forget about it, this is making me depressed, we're so poor. Anyway, someone's going to win it today.
Disclaimer, we didn't spunk on the game.
Yeah, and there's no spunk on the game. So the conclusion of Good Game St. James Anniversary Competition, that's right, Good Game St. James turned a year old. It can walk now.
It's like a small baby.
Yeah. So over the last month, we've asked listeners to go to our Facebook page, which is, Aaron?
Facebook.com/7landhand.
Yeah.
That's the number 7.
Find the Good Game St. James Zombicide competition post, which I pinned regularly to the top of the page, and tell us your best Good Game St. James experience from the past year. This wasn't a love-in. Some people said, oh, do you want us to write stories of love? To Google, and was like, no, just hilarity.
Hilarity.
Gaggage.
Experience.
Even, yeah, bad stuff that had happened to you that everyone laughed at. But
what?
Yeah, I was going for that.
I specifically remember you saying your best win, your worst win. You didn't say worst loss. You went with best win, worst win.
I also talked about...
win.
Someone lost a foot here once.
Your best loss.
No. Lost a foot.
Store manager Dave is here today to select a winner. He's here somewhere.
He's actually been here the whole time.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Oh,
I was the one doing the talking when you weren't.
Oh, when I was having a nap earlier. Oh, right. So what we're going to do is I printed out all of the entries that we had on the Facebook page, and it was great. We had some really nice stories that people contributed. And read through the lot. Dave looked at the list. It hasn't got anybody's names on it, so he doesn't know who it is. And, he's had a read through. He selected the three that he liked the best. So, Aaron, I believe you're going to read out the top three. Then Dave's going to make a decision. And then OMFG.
Zombie, we'll have a winner.
Zombie giving away side.
OMFG.
Yeah.
There's right. a zombie.
So in no particular order, probably just the order that they're cut and pasted off of the Facebook site, mm-hmm. we're going to, Aaron's going to read them out and we'll revisit them mm-hmm. blow by blow.
And I'll pick my favorite.
You get to pick your favorite, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we'll somehow find out who that was now that we've taken the names off of them.
Oh, it's not irreparable.
Facebook.
We'll refer to Facebook.
All right, that's housekeeping. Let us worry about that.
Organization.
Okay, so just the first
final entry number one. Between spending money I didn't have and getting my photo taken with Stormtroopers at Perth's 2013 Comic-Con, I was handed a flyer with a bunch of words on it that would change Perth's gamers forever. This glossy A5 parchment outlined details of Good Games St. James. The location was close by and there was a magic logo on the paper. Talked it up to my housemates and we were able to cross the threshold on opening day. That day I met a trio of weird Norwegians who were trying to play some magic. A more patient man than I was able to teach mechanics of a game he himself had only picked up in recent months to dudes who didn't speak English at all well. A line of communication was forged with simple words and hand gestures. By the end of the lesson, these guys were tapping tricks like Stern and having fun. Being able to see something like that happen was kind of special. The pale yellow walls facilitated that moment, and without them, I don't think I would have ever met those guys at all. The store has changed a lot since then. It has some more tables, three less Norwegians, two sponsored players, and the black slip and slides that used to grace the tables have been swapped out for something more corporate.
Oh.
They did say to cover the good and the bad here.
Yeah, he's covered.
We did sell out by putting the logo of our shop on our tables. They got a TV, plus you can drink milk now, and there were a few more people sitting where Dave does sometimes. The idea of facilitating fun stays the same. So does the paint. Is that a jab?
Is it a pale yellow paint?
I'm referring from judgment. Refraining.
Good Games provides a place for people to be part of something. Whether it be part of a four-man party slaying goblins with plastic dye, the part of overseer on a great economic exchange between kingdoms, three sheep for his five wood, or part of the manor manipulating horde that touches down every Friday to battle for boosters.
The manor manipulating whore?
Horde.
Horde. Okay, carry on.
Part of the manor manipulating horde.
Yes.
That touches down every Friday to battle for boosters. Good Games caters to those who want to have fun, and they're doing an awesome job.
That sounds like an advert. We should just print that, shouldn't we? And just have it on the front of the shop.
I can't give a reaction at this stage.
Right? No, you just keep your thoughts to yourself.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on a dating show.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, number three's in with a chance.
Show him number one. And then I come out and kiss you on the cheek and you're like, oh, he was hot. And then it's Mr. Bean.
I don't know why he's so... I mean, the paint, the colour of the walls is... The paint colour is called Sunshine Urinal, right? And I don't know what... You know,
what could have gone wrong?
The first word is absolutely brilliant.
Sunshine.
That's what you want on
the
your walls.
The second word is urinal.
Urine aura. Oh, it's the aura of urine with sunshine in it.
Urine aura. Quite good. Which is where the sunlight hits urine and that's the colour that it is on the walls.
Hits the Earth's magnetosphere and bounces off and creates beautiful yellow streaks across the sky.
Everyone who has been here is nodding and everyone who hasn't been here wants to come here.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Well, why not after that entry? I want to go here.
If I had to choose... what the colour was called,
yeah.
I'd say mustard milk.
Oh, mustard milk.
Piss yellow.
That's where Dulux started, piss yellow, and they came out with sunshine urine aura.
It was to ward off the black plague. Smeared the walls with urine. Dulux
saves you from the plague. Sunshine urine. Imagine the sun.
Second entry.
Oh, yeah, what are we doing? Zombie side competition, second entry.
Oh, yeah. Coming into Australia from the States, one thing I was sure about was finding a local card shop to play Magique.
Yeah.
Spelled magic with a J.
And he's American as well, so he wouldn't have said Magique.
A simple Google search first told me about Al's Card Shop in the city. I went there very disappointed that there were no tables to even play on. Thankfully, the guy behind the counter told me about Good Games St. James.
What a guy. High five, guy.
Thanks.
Guy?
Useless man.
Al, I would imagine.
I spoke to them once.
No Al there. There's never been an Al there.
Never.
They invented this mythological Cthulhu-esque figure named Al.
Like Mr. Kipling.
Yeah, exactly.
He's on the box, but he doesn't exist.
I always thought it was Rudyard Kipling that made them pies.
Cakes.
I think Roger Kim is like, I'm going to write some short stories.
And I'm hungry.
Potential light of cakes.
Pastries.
Kipling's mince pies. This podcast not brought to you by Kipling's mince pies.
They can't get them in Australia, can you?
No, I haven't had one in years.
No.
Very sad. I don't think anyone got the Revels joke either.
No, they did. Some Revels we have listeners in the UK. We do.
Oh.
Yeah. If you follow our tweets and news and likes on Facebook and things like that, we've had people all over the place.
Oh, lovely.
In the States, in the UK.
Oh. Speaking of people from the States, I should probably finish this.
Oh, yeah. This was a fascinating story.
The first time I walked into Good Games,
yeah.
I was met with happy smiles. Yeah. I talked a bit about Magic and how recently that opened. That day I was actually headed to work, but was very early because I wanted to stop by and check out the store. But as I headed out the door, I figured I still had about an hour and a half left, so I went back in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Asked if anyone had an extra standard deck I could play with, and sure enough, Dave
said no.
Had a standard brew with him.
Are you nerd?
I wish I could have stayed there all day instead of having to head to work.
Oh, that's sad.
After my first time there, I couldn't wait to go back day after day. The community that Good Games has is amazing, especially for how new the store is. Tournament after tournament, they're booked out, and this sort of success can only come to a store that has their priorities straight and knows how to get to the consumers. Good Games will always be my local card shop as long as I'm here in Perth.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
And when does he fly out? Because I don't want...
He's not in Perth anymore.
He's lost his visa and he's gone back. Oh, okay.
Twas his local card shop.
Oh,
tis no longer... I don't know because he doesn't have any names.
Well, we can't mention any names, although it's probably narrowed
down. We don't want to mail this thing all over the world.
Zombicide?
There's a budget.
So, yeah.
Considerations.
Yeah. Now that we know we're in the red, they definitely have to come pick it up from the store.
And if they feel like buying it off us as well. Yeah, I know it's a prize and you've won it, but if you don't mind us buying it for the recommended retail price.
Oh,
and the money could go straight back in the 7-Land coffers.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're broke, as we've discovered.
Understandable.
Yeah. Okay, so entry number 3 in Good Game St. James Anniversary Competition. Zombicide
number
competition.
Number 3. Good Game St. James has changed my life. I first visited with my family on a Friday night while it was packed full of people playing Magic the Gathering. I was looking for some board game goodness and a new set of dice for D&D. While I was making my purchases, the lovely Dave Clark informed me of a Thursday night board games in store.
No.
Who's that?
What's wrong?
Never heard of him. I don't think he even works.
Is there someone else called Dave Clark working here?
Yeah.
It wasn't me that made the woo noise. It was a fan.
Yeah. No. The live audience in Sevenland, oddly quiet today.
And every day.
Myself and my family decided to go along the following Thursday, walked into the store feeling a bit nervous because we didn't know anyone, but very excited to meet some potential board gaming friends.
Yeah.
Dave showed us around the store a bit. He keeps mentioning this Dave guy.
Dropping.
Us games that were available to play and left us for a bit to get settled.
Does it say what Dave was wearing?
Loveman Laven.
When he took him around the store.
I think I know who Dave is.
Does it say what he was wearing?
Dave wore a leopard print thong,
yeah.
And soon enough he came back over to us and introduced us to two other people who were looking to play a game.
Yeah, I've seen him wear that. It's embarrassing. He clenches the whole time.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It's just, don't clench, Dave.
I mean, you've already done.
Love yourself for who you are.
Now you're acknowledging I'm here, having besmirched me.
Yeah. Well, we needed to bring it up sometime.
Favorite word.
Might as well record it.
Besmirch. Lord Besmirch and Lord Hodgepodge.
He was wearing an eldritch thong. So I get my favorite word in.
We all got to playing Munchkin and had a ball doing so. It was such a great experience. We met lovely people and we decided to go back again the next week. It turns out my family and I go every week now. I think we may have only missed 3 weeks since we first went, which was around the end of April. So they've been to about 40 plus.
Very organized as far as calendar's concerned.
Goodness.
You can rattle off weeks and times and just...
Good Game St. James is a place where I meet up with my newest bunch of awesome friends who I would have never met otherwise, especially one of my newest and most lovely friends, Amy.
I thought I was going to say
dropping.
Dave Clark.
Dave Clark.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, oh dear.
Is it Dave Clark?
Yeah!
It's awesome.
What?
Really?
He helped us feel comfortable. That's the thong talking. Yeah. And get familiar with the store, made us feel very welcome. We drop in more than once a week, have a sense of loyalty to the store because it's brought together what I consider to be my board gaming family. After board games on Thursdays when the store closes, a group of us stand outside and speak for what sometimes turns into an hour. Seriously, Dave's, you need a bench. She's acknowledged that she knows you exist.
But
I have explained the situation with the neighbours, so maybe Well, there certainly is not going to be a bench, and perhaps we could reduce the amount of time they're standing out the door.
Why don't we just get one of them old utes that have a bench seat, and we'll just leave the doors open.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just come in and sit down.
I think they're illegal now.
Are they?
Someone
because
fell
of the
off
death.
One of those.
There's something else for the neighbours.
It was like a Lovecraftian
about.
Thing. There's deaths everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, it's the couch on this the back.
The mystery of the ute bench. Oh, it was the ute bench. it was the name of the mystery.
What are you holding
time?
On when this goes around the corner? There's no holding on. Okay, we're going to take
that
this down.
That was why you're all dead.
Can you install a shower into those old utes? And
I think you can. You might even be able to play Cthulhu Dice.
Which is a game we don't know very much about.
No. But everything about at the same time. Ooh, feel the insanity slide away.
Clearly this is because we can't get enough. What I'm trying to say, good game, St. James, you are responsible for some meaningful and lovely friendships.
You can't prove that.
A place where I can be with my family doing stuff I love.
We're responsible for all of that.
Apparently so. Give us something fun to look forward to, and we're always there for us. You're always there for us when I need to buy more games. Couldn't ask for more.
Well, she could. I mean, she's entered a competition for Zombicide. So she's obviously saying, oh, don't
tack
want
on
much
a,
more.
Tack on a free game.
Zombicide.
Couldn't ask for much more. By the way, if I win the prize in this,
I'll be demanding a copy of Zombicide off you immediately.
I would appreciate. I guess I could ask for more. I could ask for a copy of Zombicide.
Yeah.
So two copies of Zombicide.
So that entry's a lie immediately, isn't it? And then we could probably talk about the winner. We've got a winner, Dave.
It was a very difficult decision, but yes.
The pod blob that
we
you just
have
heard
a winner.
Covered a space of 7 to 9 days.
Of Dave thinking.
Of Dave just pondering.
Stroking his goatee. So Dave, tell us, who has won the Zombicide? We'll reveal the name.
Well, can we say who didn't win?
Oh,
the
do you want
entries?
To go back? Well,
right.
Really? This is stretching it out. So. Yeah, oh, really? So, yeah, okay, yeah, let's say.
Yeah, I'd like to give honourable mentions to the two I didn't choose.
Okay, now you know the names of who they were entered by.
I have been handed the names.
Yes. Who came in?
Open the envelope.
Well, there's not an order
there's
for the ones
that
didn't get it.
No, but who came in not first place first?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Who is that?
That was Justin Edwards.
Oh, Justin Edwards. I love that guy.
Wonderful rendition of his experience.
Which one was his?
From opening day.
He was with the Norwegian guys.
He was the gentleman with the Norwegians. I loved it. Painted a beautiful picture.
It did.
Told the entire story. It is our year anniversary. Mm-hmm. Covered it from start to finish.
I would like to say that was my favourite one.
Yeah.
But that's not important.
I'm going to say that about all the entries.
It was also
my favourite one.
For a minute there, I thought you overstepped
a mark. It was favourite as well. Yeah.
let me just have a look at this one. You know how when you read, there's about 30 reviews for places online on Yelp or on Urban Spoon or whatever?
No, I don't read any of them. Yeah.
We're on Urban Spoon because we started selling frozen sausage rolls out of the freezer.
Yeah, really?
And so I want the quote in the...
Is that how you get in? You just any food?
Any food.
Oh, any food
so
item.
Good.
In quotes at the top of the page, I just want, they got a TV, plus you can drink milk now. And that's all it says. And that's Good Games to James, 5 stars. They got a TV, plus you can drink milk now.
Oh, high five, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
Hey, you know what surprises me? We made him a god and gave him two hot girls to hang out with, and he still went for that gaming
Zombicide.
Experience on the first thing. Didn't mention we made him a god and got him two hot girls to hang out
with. He's referencing a video.
Yeah.
You're referencing a video there. You didn't just... In no way are we distributing hot girls.
We made him a god and got him two hot girls for a couple of hours, and he got a free stuffing of the face with
Chips. Yeah.
Chips, yeah. And still, he found that the best Good Games experience was that first day with the Norwegian guys.
Oh,
that's beautiful.
It. Yeah.
That's how much
you
fun
you couldn't
have.
Say that he couldn't ask for more.
He couldn't ask for more, even though he's asked for a game of Zombicide in a roundabout way.
By entering the competition, you have asked for more.
That's my favourite entry. That's my by far.
The other entry that didn't come in first.
Oh, this is my favourite by far, though.
This is good as well.
I don't know which one it is. Me neither.
But you know what? I'm nervous now. I just don't want to... Because this really sort of tells you who won.
Is it the one with the jimmies?
Oh, bless them. I wish they could all win.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
So, but Justin gets a seven-land hand Hypermagic Nerd.
Oh, that he does.
So, in a way, you are a winner.
He is a winner. He's won. He's won there.
Yeah.
Okay, so who didn't come in first again? And by way of announcing this, the winner's going to kind of know who they are, but we won't know.
Their medal is a bronze and silver hybrid.
It is.
Called Brilver.
Yeah, who which is poisonous, so you shouldn't have it against your skin.
Definitely. Don't eat it.
This but we'll send it to you. I think all of this is better than the actual game review. We should just delete the Arkham Horror bit.
Yeah.
And the stupid intro.
Just like scribble out Lovecraft, like the biography. Just be like, Aaron, Dave, and Dave.
Talking shit about a competition. Yeah, that would be all right. Okay, so who didn't come in first?
Yeah, you've already said that.
All right.
To give him his full name.
Yeah.
Gary with one R, Matthew Alfred Tung.
Oh! He's the...
Gaza.
Isn't the inaugural...
GMAT.
The inaugural Team Seven Land Hand two-headed giant guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was
indeed. I watched those streaming live online from our FN... No, sorry, that didn't happen.
It was the first team...
Just in case people were like, I've got to go look that up now.
I'm going to waste 2 seconds of my life looking for something that he made up.
So it was the first time there'd been a Team Seven Land Hand entered into a proper tournament.
You mean this competition?
No.
No, Friday.
Into a proper tournament. Team Seven Land Hand played... In Friday Night Magic.
Oh, I know.
Two-headed giant.
I read about it.
Me and Gary.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it was me and Gary. It's good job he didn't win. Oh, does this look like favoritism?
Maybe you should have siphoned out the favoritism ones beforehand.
Just dodged a bullet there. I'm glad Gary didn't win. Although he's probably winning, sitting there at home going, you shouldn't have teamed up now.
But wait.
It's good look.
I hate that guy.
Yeah,
but wait, he did win in a kind of... Seven Land Hadn't badge way.
You don't know the names of them, do you?
I've not been allowed one.
I've Magic Nerd badge. You got
he
one.
He won in a way that he didn't win, and he was the best at not winning by coming
That's
second.
Called second, yeah, slash
but
third.
If I haven't already pointed out, that was my favourite entry that Gary wrote.
Oh, yeah. And in a way, it was my favourite entry, too.
So, obviously...
It was my favourite by far.
It makes sense now, because... He's American.
Well, this means that the one that won was my favorite.
Or is Gary Canadian? It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some controversy.
Bit of controversy.
When he said he was from the States, it was from the States of Canada.
Yeah, States of Canada. That's what I thought. Yeah.
They are in a bit of a state.
Can I tell you about the winner?
Oh, this is my favorite.
This is by far my favorite.
I'm glad you chose
this one.
This is the one with Dave Clark's awesome in it.
But that didn't influence me. Or did it? No, it didn't.
No.
People are always messaging me, Dave Clark is awesome.
Yeah.
So this
and
is
the leopard thong.
There's nothing new.
Which may or may not have been actually in the entry.
This one stood out among all of the great entries. Like Justin's, it covered an era, continuing growth
aeons,
of...
in fact.
Well, a year.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Is that what you mean?
But, it highlights what's great about the store and the community.
Oh, shit. It brings in...
It brings a Popper test shirt.
Settling.
It encompasses the family. And then the Good Games community became her family. Mm-hmm. And
it does make the cheeks moist.
Aaron has gone somber, so I better finish this one up.
It makes the chicks moist.
Yeah, I was like weeping.
Oh.
Yeah.
It meant you were crying.
I wasn't thinking about his leopard skin thong that was admirably mentioned.
So it makes my chicks moist.
That's just because you followed through on that last fart. I can smell it from here. It's terrible.
Oh, God. Okay.
Sorry, don't fart in the pod.
I wanted to look... I wanted to be somber.
Right, yeah. You bowed your head in reverie.
Yeah.
reverence.
In revels. He bowed his head in revels and took a big mouthful and chewed the chocolatey goodness. You were pontificating.
I was starting to lose the crowd.
Yeah.
I wanted to backtrack. I thought I had to work in a joke and then maybe finish on a song.
No, there's no jokes in this podcast. I think anyone that's listened to this has realised it's not funny.
It's very serious.
Yeah. It's very serious business, this. We're giving away a game of Zombicide today. It's going to put us in the hole for...
When we say business, it's more like a charity. Because we just found out today we don't get paid.
Yeah, I know. That makes the cheeks moist as well. I'm just crying. Anyway.
This is the winner.
It's a good day for the winner.
The winner's name is Tess Lau.
Oh, Tess.
I know Tess.
And I think anyone that comes to the store on a regular basis will
knows Tess.
Would have met her and thought that she was a wonderful example of what is great about gaming and gamers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, congratulations, Tess Lau.
Thanks, Tess.
Well done. Yeah. Woo, well done. Zombicide coming
all three
your way.
Of us clapped in.
Yeah. Each other's hands. It's like this weird kind of.
When did you guys get the clap?
All right. So Tess, come on in and see Dave.
Goodness,
get your
really,
badge,
really
get your game. If you want the game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't need anything more. She said that. Mm. All right.
You'll get a badge.
I couldn't ask for more. So just don't worry about the game.
Throw the game away.
You can have the story gratis.
Thank you, you know. But I don't want this. Oh.
Yeah, I couldn't ask for more. I clearly stated that.
What? Is that the end of the excitement? I don't think so.
Oh,
we've been working stuff out. Yeah.
Oh.
Like bollocks it is. No more.
Brilliant. And he had to read that.
Sorry, I did that one wrong. Anyway, what have we got coming up, Aaron?
The Seven Land Hand Super Series.
What's that? The Seven Land Hand Super Series?
Oh my goodness, we have enough money to sponsor a Super Series.
Hang on, look at that. $1,000 in prizes.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. Where are we getting that from? This is getting worse.
We don't have
worse.
To worry about that now. We'll fashion it together at the end.
Aaron's worth something on the street. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
So we have Seven Land Hand Super Series kicking off April 6th, which is next weekend, isn't it?
It's next Sunday. Yeah, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's not very long to go at all.
Yeah, so we're recording this March 30th, Sunday, March 30th. So it's this time next week, this Sunday next week.
Well, this time next week, we'll have finished.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but they don't know what time of the day it is. Anyway, it's midnight. Anyway, so with over $1,000 in prizes, Dave, can you tell us a bit about it? Give us some details.
I'd love to.
All right,
I'd love to. I'm super excited about this.
Go, bang. Super Series, bam.
Treason.
Wolf.
Bam. How quickly do I have to come in? I just talk fast about it?
Yeah, just go.
Like, it's seven qualifiers. It's a qualifying series.
How many qualifiers?
Seven. And then a last chance one.
So it's eight. There's eight, yeah.
But I've got into the habit of saying seven.
Right.
And then an extra one at the end.
Land hand.
That's why there's seven qualifiers. Yeah. That and the format of the grand final.
Yeah.
The exciting thing about this is, I'm sure all of our listeners and or customers will remember, we did a super series last year here. That was open to all. Now we're aiming to find the champion Magicka. Magic the Gathering.
Magic player.
The champion Magic player.
Yeah.
In the whole of WA.
In the whole of WA.
And maybe Northern Territory.
Come far and wide. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can come from another state.
Yeah.
You can come.
Well, you're flying.
If, like I mentioned earlier, those people in the UK who want to come play the Super Series, bang.
We'll probably give you free entry if you come from the... Oh, no, that'll just make people...
It'll throw the prize structure off. So if everyone, I don't care where you're from, if you could just pay your bills.
Yeah. Just fly here.
Fly from England, we'll say hello.
You'll get a Seven Land Hand badge.
I don't think so.
We remember the budget talk we had? It's just not going well for us.
More Super Series details.
Yeah, I don't want to lose pace with this here.
What are the formats, Dave?
All right, the formats. We alternate between constructed, standard, and limited sealed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The sealed's going to be the most current?
Yeah, current set. Yeah. And that's exciting because it gives players an opportunity to play those players that don't have constructed decks and also brings another element of a challenge there. You're not just playing with a deck that you've learned and studied at. You're hitting it on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. All the sealed tournaments end with a free draft for the top eight, so that we can really test skills and abilities.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The crazy thing about this is that each qualifier feeds a grand final, which is an eight-man event.
That is crazy.
It's exclusive.
That's insane.
Unseen of
that's
Perth.
Lovecraft level insanity.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I hope not, because that's
the more I learn about
bleed.
The Super Series. The less of a grip that I have on my
insanity.
Yeah.
But the next thing I was going to suggest was that you go to the Facebook, the Good Games of James Facebook page.
I've learned too much.
Go to the notes section there where we've got everything detailed.
What was that, Dave? There's mad cackling over that. People might not have caught it.
Good Games and James Facebook page.
Yeah.
Which is, would you like the address?
Yeah.
Facebook.com/GGSTJames.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's quite lengthy otherwise.
Yeah.
And so all of these details are in the notes section.
They're all in there. But more details as well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you all the details
now. Give us all the details.
Go to the notes page.
Also, in the month coming up to each qualifier, we'll have events that you can join and say that you're attending.
Yeah, we're not going to try and sneak rounds of the Super Series by and catch people out so they don't get to wait.
No, that was idea one. Yeah. But that got shouted down.
Did it?
Yeah, no, along with a lot of my other ideas.
There's a lot of hecklers.
There is. When you say it got shouted down, who was shouting them down? Because really you could just say, I've made a Super Series. I'm the winner.
You haven't met my wife. Lots of shouting down of ideas.
Mostly about Super Series and such.
Oh, fuck, he's talking about the Super Series again.
It's a seven-land Super Series and such.
So, you want to start practicing now because this is going to be something serious.
Sunday is very soon.
The winner of the qualifier qualifies, hence the name, for the grand final, and that's the only way to get in the last chance qualifier, which is the eighth one, which will be the week before, gives everyone an opportunity to play for that final place. Based on a point system. So how well you've done in our F&Ms and how well you've done in the qualifiers will rank you in the top eight on the point system, and then those top eight get invited to the Invitational Last Chance qualifier.
Wow. So it starts on the 6th of April, which is next Sunday, and it goes all the way through to December of the year. So this thing's huge. Loads of opportunities to jump in and get involved. And I believe if you win a round, you can't enter the other round, so we end up with eight people in the grand final.
Yes, that is great.
That is huge. And as Sevenland Hand are going to be all over it. We're going to have people that are in the tournament and around the tournament writing articles for it. Mm-hmm. We've got a video team to do the videos for it. Mm-hmm. We're going to videotape the final of each qualifying round. So that'll go up on the site.
Yeah, commentary for each one.
Yeah.
Each one's going to be shot so you can relive the glory of your...
see what decks people are playing, how they're playing them. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have... Aaron's going to be interviewing the winner of each one.
I heard Aaron is going to be the face of the Seven
Land
Hand.
He's the public face of Seven Land Hand, which is, you know...
I did get a tattoo on my face that says Seven Land Hand so that I could truly...
Can you get that removed?
Have the... it's pretty easy to get removed. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got it.
We're going public with the beauty that is the Seven Land Hand. We're the best looking podcast on the internet, and we're going public with it. We just thought, flaunt it.
Put the faces on there. But you're only putting one face.
Yeah. Just for now. We're saving stuff.
Because it's a two-man operation.
Well, you know, once Aaron's suited up, you know, what else do we need?
I'm not wearing a
He's wearing a suit. Oh, yeah, what? We bought it for you. It's out the back.
It's a one-piece.
It's a onesie.
This is a birthday suit, guys. I'm just very upset.
Oh, don't worry. Some people will love that.
Some. Like, and we know who they are.
Not
because
that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, that wasn't me. No, anyway. So Seven Hand is going to be all over the Super Series. Is that everything? We've got, like, there'll be articles, the videos.
What's the format of the grand final, Dave?
Oh, well, this is exciting.
Yeah, this is exciting.
This is a real test. Yeah. Of your abilities. You've made it this far.
You've got to do it.
Now you've got a 3-round draft, then 4 rounds of standard constructed.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. So you've got seven rounds, and then the top two after those 7 rounds play off for the ultimate prize.
What's the format of the final? The final?
You mean the playoff?
The playoff.
The final playoff?
Yeah.
Of the two persons?
He's staying with
standard.
Us.
Standard. Constructed.
Yeah, standard constructed.
It's not just like... 3 rounds of draft. four rounds of standard.
It's like an obstacle course. It's like the world's strongest man. It's like lift that barrel, carry it to the back of the ute, drop
hit
it
this
in there.
Thing with a hammer.
Yeah, do it like, yeah. Yeah, smash that
and then
concrete
at the end,
block.
Pull this.
Play commander.
Maybe. We've got, let's see, I can change it last minute. We've got 11 months.
You guys have had a battle of wits, right?
There's
an enchantment called Battle of Wits.
Yes.
It says, at the beginning of your upkeep, if you have 200 or more cards in your library, you win the game. Every participant in the final eight in the grand final has to have a Battle of Wits deck, which only comes out if they're in the final. And then we have to awkwardly watch a 250 card deck play another 250 card deck.
Let's go fishing for that card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Not my great telly.
Hmm.
This is very exciting. I'm really excited about this.
That's huge. I didn't even know it was so involved in the end there with like a draft in there. You know, I'm crazy for the draft these days. So yeah. I'll enter just so I can get into the draft in the final.
Yeah,
make some stupid decisions and lose horribly.
Well, there's a draft in the top eight of each sealed, so you could enter as well. You could, you know, if you do well in the sealed, my man,
yeah,
we'll give you a free draft.
You know, I'll have to. I won't be able to. You know, I'll enter, but I'll have to let someone win in the final because you know, look bad.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah,
but that was something I wanted to mention here.
Yeah.
We're putting one of our own men in there, right?
Who's that? Oh, is Aaron playing in it?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to pay entry like every common
man.
So
we've got a Team Seven Land Hand, we've got a Team Seven Land Hand member entering the Seven Land Hand Super Series.
Oh, yeah.
And if he wins the whole thing, people will be cool with that?
Well, it keeps it in-house, doesn't it? I think that's important.
It's not like it's a subjective judge's call.
Similar to the Zombicide thing, there is no Tess Lau. It's just we're just
Tess isn't
it
allowed.
Store.
Tess has been banned from entering a super series because she wasn't a zombie size.
Just won too many.
Oh,
things.
She's going to be cut by that. That's a bit harsh, isn't it? Okay. Well,
look out for our sponsored players in that tournament as well. That's
It's
going to be fantastic. And Ash Webster and Paul Jackson in no particular
as they call
order.
Him, handsome Ash.
And
what did they call
and Paul?
Paul.
Oh,
no.
I don't agree to that.
Actually, we do have a nickname for him. It's P-Jax.
Next fortnight. Hang on a minute. What are we talking about next fortnight? There is no next fortnight. We're back next week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because Journey into Nyx is about to happen. And we've got to get in before the spoilers come out because we're going to be playing. We're going to be playing. Aaron Graham, Premonitions.
He always has to get nude when he does it.
Yeah. Oh, but it's good. He gets in touch. He strokes the temples.
I got in touch as well.
Yeah. He goes off to another plane and he hauls in.
And then I start playing.
Yeah. And then he starts hauling in the facts. Yeah.
Of
Premonitions.
Of music and...
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, he's on drugs. I get it.
So next week, we're going to be back. We're going to be doing Aaron Graham, Premonitions. About Journey to Nyx and perhaps a few spoiler reviews if they're already out. If they beat us to it, going to be dark, isn't it? We're going to be dark on that.
It was fun fact. It was actually this... Fuck, I keep saying that.
Fuck or fun fact?
It was this weekend...
It's a fucking fun fact.
It's a fucking fun fact. That's a bit different to the regular fun fact.
Yeah.
It was this week last year that Theros was announced for the first time. So we're... I don't think spoilers are going to start until PAX East happens in America.
So what roughly date is
that?
So
it's 2 weeks away.
Oh, good.
So we'll be right on time to
So Premonitions is going to be like, you know,
it's going to be,
fine.
They're going to be brewing.
Because pre-release weekend is April the 26th to the 27th. And so next week we're going to be back doing Premonitions.
Yep.
Aaron Graham, Premonitions.
He keeps pointing at him and he does that.
And then the week after that, it doesn't have a tune. We've got Mr. David Putz coming in. He'll be talking about board states and tempo plays.
I'm not going to play the flute.
And probably do a bit of spoiler review then. Because that'll be out then.
For Journey into Nyx? Would you say that spoilers are kind of a premonition?
You want to play your flute. Play your flute.
Everybody can look forward to Aaron Graham Premonitions next week.
Yeah.
Can That's
we,
next
can
week.
We, can we get a teaser of a premonition now just to...
Have you
Just
got any
something.
Premonitions? He doesn't do his homework as it is.
Just a teaser.
I have one.
Oh, you've already been in touch with the...
Yep.
You've been in touch
taken
with
off
the,
his gloves.
The magic gods.
The gods of Theros have spoken to me and said, the five gods that they haven't printed yet are going to be in Journey into Nyx.
Whoa!
All the other
Who
colors.
Who saw that coming?
I did, because...
You did. I shouldn't have asked.
Premonitions.
Do we know what the names are yet, or is it lost in the fog of time?
Eroas, god of victory...
Yeah.
Krufix, god of...
Don't use
time?
Up all the material.
Defeat. Oh, yes.
There's other... Athreos, that's the black-white god.
Should I be writing these down?
God of... death? No, the dead? No, that's Erebus. Athreos, god of black and white mana.
Is it true? Can I just ask... Sorry, just can I just ask you this? Is it true that some of the cards will be printed upside down?
Yeah, it will. And then when you turn them... back the other way.
They'll be the right way up.
They'll be the right way up.
Wow. Can I do a premonition? Because I think I'll have one.
Did you say you wanted to do a David Wildsmith? Premonitions.
There will be an octopi cards.
An octopi cards.
There will be octopi cards. I didn't want to say octopuses. Yeah.
At least
that's
one octopus
card. There will be.
Yeah. Now, is this a wild, fanciful statement, or did drugs?
No, fanciful statement.
It's a devil blossom premonition. Because, you know, I was standing near Darren when he got that premonition, and it just came to me. I thought, I've just been
dripped
on the magic.
It was a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Premonition juice.
How do you feel about that one? Any think that's going to come true?
It's flowing all over the place.
Premonition juice. Tripping on David.
I feel sticky. All right, other tweets and news. The sevenlandhand.com site of sorts, maybe down for a few days after this. I've just got to take off the URL as we move house in preparation for the Super Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get sevenlandhand.com up and running and punching above its weight as soon as you get some money in the bank.
Sounds so good.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about it.
Contact us on Facebook. You can leave a comment on any of the goings-on that happened during the week. Facebook.com/sevenlandhand. That's the number 7. I feel every time I say that, I want to stipulate that that's the number 7 isn't part of the URL. Like, I want to put it in brackets, but it's difficult.
I get people in all the time saying to me, here's what I'm putting in.
In the next 5 seconds, if I say 7, it's the number 7. It's not the...
Brilliant.
Okay. Facebook.com/sevenlandhand.
I understood perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm Facebooking us now.
Or you can tweet mostly me on the Twitters @sevenlandhand as well.
Yeah.
I forgot to...
The reception staff who have now been fired because we can't afford their wages. Yeah. We'll just probably have to answer.
I was paying
all the
3 or 4 people to maintain the Twitter account, and they didn't really do very much.
Yeah. We got them on staff, and now we've got no money left, so we gave Tess zombie side, and she's just going to take it.
Thanks very much, Dave, last name, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, especially as I was on one previous, and that didn't go so well. The feedback was pretty rough.
Yeah. Oh, something I'd also like to point out, it was very nice having the three of us in the same room doing the podcast. And thanks very much to Mr. David for being an excellent co-host as usual.
Dr. Dave.
Yeah. Guiding the ship through the waters.
Yeah, he does that.
Okay. Just as we leave today, I'm going to tell you about the upcoming sequel to Arkham Horror. They're not doing expansion packs anymore.
What?
It's called Arkham Horror 2.
The return of the
two O's, T-double-O.
The okay, if I say if I say the number 2 of the next 5 seconds,
it's the number two.
It's the number 2.
Oh, right.
Arkham Horror 2.
Yeah.
: significantly less horror. This is about a small village called Arkham, Massachusetts. It's set 700 years after the first Arkham Horror game. There's an investigator, and he's trying to investigate mysteries.
Futuristic.
And lots of gates have opened on local farmsteads, and animals are getting out. So he's going to go and put the animals back into the
This
pens.
Is less horrible.
Yeah, and significantly
by a significant
less
margin.
I'm
so
worried about this
lots
farm
of gates have
already.
Been opened, but if you close a gate, it's not necessarily going to stay shut. It might swing open again due to wind.
Yeah, weathering.
Weathering.
That's typical.
The investigator's name is Alfred Jones. And he's got to close the gates or seal them with like cling film. And then spoilers. Guys, turn it off if you don't like spoilers. It's Cthulhu. I mean, Colin, a troublesome youth, has been living on the gates open. So that's the mystery. Arkham Horror 2, significantly less horror, starring Colin.
And you could probably win a copy of that for our next competition.
Yeah, next competition. Good Game's second year anniversary, Arkham Horror 2. If in the next 5 seconds.
Is that the end of the excitement?
Bollocks it is.
Bollocks it is.